2 years ago, photographer Kevin Miyazaki set off on a trip around Lake Michigan to find out who the people were that lived, worked, and played on the Great Lake.
Miyazaki drove over 1,800 miles with a portable photo booth that he set up on the lake's beaches and parks and even on boat docks and backyards. His goal to find out what connected people to Lake Michigan.
Well, photographing a wide range of people, from residents and scientists to dock workers and surfers, he also asked them to share their thoughts about Lake Michigan. What did the lake mean to them? And why do they care about it?
Kevin Miyazaki is with us now. He's a Milwaukee-based editorial and fine art photographer. His work has appeared in Martha Stewart Living, Travel and Leisure, and the New York Times Magazine. His latest book is Perimeter, a Contemporary Portrait of Lake Michigan. Kevin, thanks for being here.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. Well, why did you decide to highlight the voices and stories of the people who live alongside and who love Lake Michigan?
Well, the project was originally a commission by the Hagerty Museum of Art, which is at Marquette University in Milwaukee. And the Hagerty came to me and asked me to do a project that addresses the Great Lakes and freshwater. They wanted to participate in this ongoing discussion that's happening here in Milwaukee and in the region about freshwater and the importance of freshwater research. And so left it pretty open-ended. They said it should address the Great Lakes somehow, and it would be a photographic exhibition at the museum in 2013. And so I had been making these series of portraits for a while, people against a really simple black backdrop. And what that does is it really sort of isolates the individual, sort of celebrates the individual. Then when the photographs are exhibited in a group, it has this really kind of powerful aspect of community. So in thinking about the Great Lakes, I actually thought I wanted to make pictures of people and make a series of these portraits using a portable photo booth. And so it led to a 13-day drive around the lake in the summer of 2012, in which I photographed nearly 300 people for the project.
What were those days like when you were driving along Lake Michigan? How did you pick your route and meet people?
They were long days. I decided to stay off of the interstate highway. So I drove the entire way just always trying to find the lake. I went counterclockwise, so I basically made this kind of beautiful big left-hand turn around Lake Michigan. But I just kept looking for the water. It was also a bit of an investigation of access, trying to see where I could find the water and what prevented me from finding the water in some cases, industry and sort of wealthier areas where it wasn't as accessible. But I just kept looking for the water, and the people I found, I would stop and photograph, sometimes just one person. Sometimes I would set up for several hours and wait for people to come by me.
And how did you approach these people who were living and working and playing near the lake?
I just asked people if I could take their picture. I had some examples. I had photographed some people before I left Milwaukee. And so I had some example pictures, and I had a statement and on a little postcard. So I just gave people the postcard and asked if they'd sit for me. It really only took a few minutes with each subject, so it wasn't sort of a big time commitment for them. And overwhelmingly, people said yes. There were only very few people out of the hundreds that I approached that actually said no.
Now, you are from Milwaukee. You live in close proximity to Lake Michigan. What is your connection with the lake?
Yeah, I grew up in Wauwatosa, so in the suburbs, really close to Lake Michigan physically. But I think my lifelong relationship with the lake has been maybe similar to most people that grew up here, where it's not a daily occurrence for me to see Lake Michigan. I don't think about it all the time, but I realize its importance. It's a compass for me. I think anyone who lives in proximity of the water like this, it sort of is a navigational, geographical compass for us. I know which direction the lake is if I'm looking out the studio window here in Milwaukee right now. I know which direction the lake is, or if I'm driving on one of the highways or something. So it's always been sort of a grounding element for me, but I don't know that before this project I looked at it that closely, to be honest with you.
Now, when you talk to these people and took their photographs, you have got what their connection to the lake is and what they think is, important for the lake going forward. And it's interesting about the themes that emerge. There's a lot of commonality there. And one is that people seem really captivated by the changing face of Lake Michigan. And they describe it as having all these different moods, almost like a person.
It does. The idea for the project was really a portrait project, but I knew I would photograph the lake as I went. again, is sort of this record and this investigation of access. So whenever I found the water, I would make simple pictures of the lake. And in the book, the lake pictures are in chronological order of the trip. But I knew it would be interesting because the colors and the face of the lake, as you said, would change. But I actually didn't realize how much that would be evident. And so when I was through with the trip and I had these pictures of the lake itself, hundreds of them, I realized that the complexity of the colors and the light and the water was just pretty amazing. And so those pictures actually became part of the exhibition at the Hagerty as well.
Well, let's dive into some of the stories that you got to hear about people's connection with the lake. There is a Native American leader named Frank Etawagashik who talked about his connection. Can you tell us about him?
Yeah, Frank was terrific. I met him via email before my trip. In research for the trip, I was reaching out to people and trying to find subjects that I could connect with along the way. And Frank and I struck up a friendship via email, and I met him in Harbor Springs, Michigan. And I photographed him down near the water in a little tiny park in Harbor Springs, this kind of beautiful little town. And we were talking about the history of the water and his connection to the lake and his family. And then all of a sudden, sort of out of the blue, Frank began singing the Native American water song for me in this little tiny park with people walking by. And he had quite a beautiful booming voice. And it was this really, it was a really special moment in the trip. It was about halfway. I was kind of exhausted. And it was this really kind of enlightening, very calming occurrence that happened to me. And it was terrific.
What did he say about what was precious to him about Lake Michigan?
You know, he talked about the complexity of the water, but its connections to both his ancestors and his descendants. I actually have a quote by Frank that I could read if you like.
Sure.
Frank says, so I asked the subjects, by the way, their thoughts about the lake. I really didn't have time when I was photographing people to take down notes necessarily. The process was pretty quick with each subject. But I gathered their information and I asked them to email me thoughts about the lake. So the quotes that I gathered were really after the fact, which I think also made for, it gave people time to actually think and compose their thoughts more. But this is what Frank said in part. Its power is centered during calm and storm. Its long reach is both to my ancestors and my descendants. It's been terrifying and comforting all at the same time. Its beauty mystifies and inspires every time I come upon it. And I think, you know, a lot of people that wrote about the lake talk about this aspect of how the water sort of centers them, and it's this grounding, calming effect. And Frank described, I think, both.
Right. People talked about it as almost a therapist.
Yeah, absolutely. There's actually subjects called the Point Swimmers, this group of women in Chicago that swim most mornings when the weather permits on the lake in Hyde Park in Chicago. And one of the women called the lake her therapist. Absolutely. Hmm.
Another theme that emerged throughout all of these conversations you had and these pictures, this process, was the theme of conservation of Lake Michigan. How did people talk about their worries for the future of the lake?
You know, I photographed a fair amount of people from the environmental community, particularly in the Traverse City area of Michigan. You know, I think I was telling somebody recently, after this trip, I mean, I spent a lot of time on the lake and looking at the lake and talking to people. I don't know that I'm a better expert on the lake from before my trip, and I don't know that I know deeply all the environmental concerns that address the lake, but I met all these people that care so deeply about it and that are working towards it. I think most of the people I met were very hopeful about it. I didn't photograph that many people in a large industry. But I photographed more sort of grassroots environmental people who had positive and sort of energetic ideas about the future.
Were people thinking about the next generation and wanting the lake as it is today or maybe even in a better state to be passed on to their children, their grandchildren, the next generations?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a very diverse group of people that I photographed. And the end of the book actually is a pairing of two portraits. And one is a woman who is 81 that I photographed, who was a volunteer in Gulliver, Michigan at the lighthouse. And then the last picture, the portrait in the book is a young boy named Davis Chang, an Asian American boy who I photographed in a park in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. And to me, that was sort of a representation of this generation passing, right? The woman, Naomi, from the Lighthouse had volunteered there for many years. And it was something that was very close to her. And this young boy, Davis, who was, you know, just having a fun day with his family in the park, to me, that represented the handoff, maybe, or the changing in the generations and so much faces the lake, as we know, in the future.
We're exploring Lake Michigan right now, looking at the faces of the people who have a connection to this great lake and their stories and that connection that they have. We'd love to hear from you on this. Do you live near or on Lake Michigan, or do you love to spend time there? What draws you to it? What's special to you, and what matters most to you when you think about the lake and its future? You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're talking about Lake Michigan and the many diverse people who have a strong connection with that great lake.
And we want to hear from you. Do you have a special place in your heart for Lake Michigan or any of our great lakes? What is your connection to the lake? And do you have a favorite memory of time spent on or near the lake with your family, friends, on the job? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR.
We continue our exploration of the lake with Milwaukee-based photographer Kevin Miyazaki. His latest book is Perimeter, a Contemporary Portrait of Lake Michigan. And Kevin, there was another person that you spoke with, a young woman who had spent a lot of time alone on Lake Michigan, and her name was Jen Gibbons. Can you tell us about her?
Yeah, Jen is this amazing woman who rowed a boat by herself around Lake Michigan the same summer that I was actually on my trip as well. She just recently biked the entire perimeter also of the lake. But she's this really interesting Chicago-based woman who has founded an organization called Row Recovery on Water. And it's for breast cancer survivors. With the idea that the training and the physical exercise is really great in recovery. But she made a solo journey around the lake in one of these sort of large rowboats that you see that they cross the Atlantic on. They're sort of a capsule where you can sleep inside the boat and whatnot. So she was on her own sort of perimeter trip and was posting a lot to social media as a way for her fundraisers and to raise money for the cause. The sad part of the story is that when she was in the Upper Peninsula area at night, sleeping on her boat, she was attacked. And she recovered from that and continued her trip. So it was this pretty amazing story. She's a really, really incredibly kind of inspirational and strong woman. And so we had been in contact before the trip, but we actually photographed her after she made the complete journey around the lake.
And what did she say about her connection after all that she had been through and experienced?
Yeah, I mean, she's somebody who grew up near the water and you know, it was one of these experiences where she worked so hard. It was like this all-encompassing physical trip to row the waters by herself. And I think it was just a powerful experience for her. I don't have her quote in front of me, but I can find it if we
That's okay. We can also go ahead and take a couple of the people who want to talk to you right now. Laura is joining us right now from Grand Marsh. Hey, Laura.
Hi. I just wanted to say one thing. I grew up around Lake Michigan, but my family, we would picnic on the parks in Grand Park in South Milwaukee and everything like that, but I never really saw Lake Michigan until one day when it was below zero and I was in my office on top of one of the office buildings in Milwaukee. And it was below zero weather, and I just couldn't believe it. It was like a fairyland. The lake just exuded this vapor, the cloud. It was like as if I was flying above the clouds, and I couldn't take my eyes off of it. And so I had never seen Lake Michigan like that in 25 years, and it was just marvelous. If nobody's ever seen the lake like that in the middle of winter, they've never really seen the lake.
Wow. Well, thank you, Laura, for sharing that. She says it's like a fairyland. And again, another one of these moods of the lake that you might be lucky enough to catch.
Absolutely. I just gave a talk in Sheboygan, and one of the people asked if I would do the same trip in the winter. which I think would be really beautiful. It would be, I'd probably find a lot less people, but would be a beautiful way to look at the water.
Well, thanks for that call. And you can join us with your favorite Lake Michigan story, your most iconic moment of connecting with that great lake, at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And we go next to Tom joining us from Madison. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good. I believe I might have a photo in that book. Hi, Kevin.
Oh, hi, Tom. Is this Tom Castle?
Yeah, sure is.
Oh, how are you?
Good. I was just calling in to say the first time I grew up in Chicago, and it was a place that no one ever told us while we were growing up that Chicago had 200 or 300 tall ships coming in every day during the 1870s and 1880s. As a part of my history, I never understood. And then I went sailing on the lake one time, and basically you turn the key to the engine off, and the wind just takes you across the lake, and it was just a magical feeling. It never goes away. It's always an amazing thing. And the thing about a lot of people don't understand about the lakes is they don't just go out to see it. I was doing library programs in Chicago. I went to 41 libraries, and we were doing shows for kids out of the Chicago Maritime Festival. And they basically, between 10 and 80% of all the kids who came to those libraries had never seen Lake Michigan, even though they lived in Chicago.
That's interesting. Why do you think that is?
I think people just get themselves isolated into their own little neighborhoods and their own little worlds, and they are a little afraid sometimes to come out and go exploring. And for me, it was always the opposite. I want to go out and, you know, see more and travel more. But it was a trend that was across all socioeconomic bends and races and neighborhoods, and it really didn't matter. There was a significant part of the population of kids from anywhere from 4 years old to 14 years old who had never seen the lake.
Well, thank you so much for calling, Tom, and sharing some of those insights there. And he had some experience on tall ships. And you speak with other people in the book alongside Tom who did connect with the lake through those tall ship experiences, including the Dennis Sullivan, I think, out of Port Washington.
Absolutely. I met Tom and a group of crew members when the Dennis Sullivan and the Madeline, which is based in Traverse City, Michigan, were both docked in Port Washington. Tom's a great musician and a captain, so he kind of has these unique roles. But I met and photographed a good group of crew members from both of the boats, and many of those pictures are in the book.
Well, thank you to Tom. And we're going to go next to Laura joining us in Milwaukee. Hi, Laura.
Hi. I wanted to talk briefly about a memory that I hold in my heart, and I'm hoping that sometime soon I can go back again to the bluffs of the state of Michigan, just across from the Manitou Islands. And I used to sit in the trees on the bluff watching the storms evolve over Lake Michigan, and the drama and the rain and the height and the wonderful, like, almost fear that you felt as it approached you closer and closer as it mounted up. And then it would drift into this valley below us, and we would watch it pour itself out. It still is just really a delight. It's at a camp that used to be called Camp Innisfree, and I think now it's a Christian Science camp. But it's just a really great place. And so to this day, I go down to Lake Michigan whenever stress gets really big, and I sit on one of the wonderful benches that they provided and just watch the waves roll in. And it's a definite beautiful place to meditate and relax and come back to being in step with yourself. So I think Michigan is really a healing and exciting place.
Laura, thank you so much for sharing that story. And Laura's not alone in talking about, well, first of all, the healing of Lake Michigan, but also the joy of watching storms over the lake. Were you lucky enough, Kevin, to see a storm?
I did. I saw some, and the pictures in the book sort of reflect this diversity of the water scenes that I saw. But I was mostly lucky to not see too many storms. I had 13 days of photographing, and I just had one day of rain. So I was pretty lucky that it didn't hamper my picture making very much.
Well, thanks a lot to Laura for the call. And let's go next to Bill in Prairie du Chien. Hi, Bill. Bill, you there?
Yes, I am.
What did you want to share?
I was just saying that I grew up in Racine, Wisconsin, right across the street from Lake Michigan, and I don't live there now, but I make it a point every time I get to that area to go to the same place that I was, you know, that I grew up in, and sit on the beach down there, and that's when I know I'm home. And it was a wonderful place to grow up, even though the shoreline down there has changed dramatically, but it was just a wonderful, wonderful place to grow up, and many fond memories there, friends and things. So that's about it.
Okay, thank you, Bill. And Bill, talking about the lake as being home, did you hear that from other people?
I did. You know, I photographed people that actually have the good fortune to live right on the lake. And then I photographed people that had come to this area from other places and were, I think, you know, the people that haven't seen the Great Lakes before, it's always a shock to them how large and how beautiful they are. One of the subjects, Zilke Kohl, who I photographed, was German, and she said when her parents first saw, were visiting and first saw Lake Michigan, they said, this isn't a lake, this is an inland sea. So I think the drama maybe is lost on us sometimes if we take it for granted, but for people from other places too, seeing it for the first time, it can be pretty powerful.
And Kevin, as we wrap up here, now that you've done this project, do you think you'll see the lake with different eyes?
I do. I'm hoping to see more of it. Again, kind of promoting this book, I'm doing talks, and so I'm actually on the lake more than I have been in a while. I'll be in Traverse City in a couple weeks again, which I'm looking forward to. I do. I have more of an appreciation for it just by the sort of human connection and the people that I met that love the water so much and care about it. I think it made an impact on me, certainly.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That was Kevin Miyazaki, Milwaukee-based photographer, whose latest book is called Perimeter, a contemporary portrait of Lake Michigan.